David refers to his sin and how it had hardened him. You remember, the psalm began by telling us that this psalm was penned after David had been confronted by the prophet Nathan. Now, you do know what David's sin was. He saw Bathsheba bathing on the rooftop, and he sent and inquired, "Who is that?" And he was told, "Oh, that's Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." And David had her sent for, lay with her, and she conceived and bore a child. And you remember the deceitfulness of sin. David tried to hide his sin, and what did he first do? Well, he sent for Uriah, who was out in the battlefield with Joab. So David brings him into the court. "Ah, I'm glad you're here. Tell me how's thing going." All right. "You're going to get a leave. Go home and be with your wife." What does Uriah do? He sleeps on the front of the court. He won't go home. David wants him to go home and have relationships with Bathsheba so that when she has a child, he'll think it's his. And he says, "I cannot do such a thing. When the Ark of the Covenant is out, I will not do that." So his attempt to get his sin covered that way didn't work. Now, what does he do? He writes a note, and he gives it to Uriah. And he says, "Go and give this to Joab." That was the general. What does the note say? "Put Uriah in the front of the battle and withdraw from him." And so it does. And Uriah is killed. Now, David said, "I'm scot-free." 18 months elapsed between the time that David had illicit relationships with Bathsheba and killed her husband before he is confronted by the prophet Nathan. And you know how Nathan did it, don't you? He tells him that there was a certain man who had a ewe lamb as a family pet. He was a poor fellow, and this lamb was the cherished pet of the family, so much so that it slept in the same room with the man and his family. And there was a very wealthy sheep herder who had guests come. And instead of taking one of his, he went and took the man's ewe lamb and slaughtered it. And remember, Nathan is telling this to David, and David's anger. "I'm going to get that guy." And then we have the famous, "You're the guy." And so David now pens this psalm. And he talks about the pervasiveness and the perversity of his sin. He doesn't in any way seek to paint it in anything other than the dreadful colors that it really is. "My sin, my transgression, my evil." All these things are terms that David uses to describe what he is, not just what he's done. Notice how he says that, "In sin did my mother conceive me." David is not talking about the act of cohabitation that produced him. He's talking about the transmission of sin that comes from Adam through all his posterity. This is what the Apostle Paul meant in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "All have sinned because of one man." There are two individuals in Scripture that are identified as being the federal head of their posterity. Adam is the federal head of all humanity. In Adam, we all sinned. Not that we were guilty of what Adam did, but his sin is imputed, reckoned to the account of everybody born since then, save one, Christ. Christ is this last Adam. He is called the second man, but he is the last Adam. By the way, there have been other representative men who were held accountable for people, but not at the same level as Adam and Christ. There is the first Adam, and there is the last Adam. And David is talking about what the sin of Adam was transmitted to him, so that he was born with a virus, and that virus manifest itself in acts of rebellion against God. So when we confess our sins, if we confess our sins, notice how John says in 1 John, we deceive ourselves if we say we have no sin. That is, if we say, whatever it is I've done is not sinful, but we make God out to be a liar because God said we are sinners. And sin renders us guilty. Sin renders us exposed to judgment. But if we confess our sin, and this is what I like about that text, he is faithful and just. Why? Because Christ has made an atonement for sin. But notice what else. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Christ has made an atonement for sinners so that our sins can be put away, forgotten, not remembered, because of Christ's great faithfulness.